Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I am joined in the studio once again with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this morning, Tish?
We're doing swell. No, we are doing swell. We're doing about as good as always.
Good as always.
Yeah, which is the caffeine's.
Yours has kicked in. I've noticed that. Yeah. So you've been fidgeting a little bit this morning. I did give you something to fidget with, like a little bit of one of those SIM pin holder stretchy things. And you've been loving that this morning. Absolutely using it too much.
Yeah, you've taken that off me now. So
I have. I moved that away because I knew it.
I'm fidgeting with my ring now, hoping to not
come up in this ruin episode. This.
Actually, I do have a thing for you now. Now we're on the topic. Okay. I thought you'd love this. So basically, I've been down a hacks rabbit hole, which I'll save for a bit later to really get into that. But anyway, yeah. I've been down the rabbit hole and I've been watching it and my friend's like, because I'm like, oh God, I feel a little seen in certain bits. And she goes, yeah, I feel like you would get along well with one of the characters. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Anyway, so I think I'd finished it and I was like thinking, you know, because it kept coming up and I'm like, oh God, not another thing, like Jesus. And then, I don't know, just ideas pop in and I was just sitting in bed about to go to sleep and I just Googled Hannah Einbinder, who's the actress, and I typed in ADHD. Boom.
And she had it.
And I just went, I didn't even read it. Like, there are hundreds of tabs.
Yeah.
And I just put the phone down and was like.
Oh, no.
And there was nothing to get me there. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I see this and that, maybe. My brain just went, hey, that's an unfortunate, probably coincidence. You should Google that.
And you've gone, okay. It's true.
I went, okay,
it's all true.
Something else for Shannon to get on my case about.
I mean, you admitted to it. You were like, yeah, I probably have.
Oh, yeah, like
ADHD.
I admitted to it, but like, who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? I don't want to claim something that.
No.
You know.
That you might not have. You're not officially diagnosed.
There could be something else
going
on up here.
There could be a few things happening up in that brain of yours.
Well, thank you, Shannon.
Good and bad. Who knows? I'm kidding. What a morning.
Are you going to pay for my therapy sessions?
Oh, no, they're expensive.
Yeah.
I know. That's why a lot of people don't go.
Either diagnose me or go. Keep quiet, sir.
I will.
Let's get into you, Shannon.
Oh, I've got some things. I've got some demons.
That's been me.
It's been you. We've had a bit of a break. We've had another two-week spell within episodes. So this week we're doing two episodes back-to-back again.
Oh boy.
Be prepared for a bit of a morning today, guys. And we've going into, it's going to be sports films this week when we get into the topic a bit later. And that's off the back of, you know, a bit of a big event that happens every 4 years.
The Olympics. I don't know what accent that was because I wasn't trying to do French.
The Olympics.
It was just something.
You're trying the French. So yes.
I was doing A voice that's in my head.
The Paris 2024 Olympics is currently on TV. So we figured we'd probably, you know, line it up perfectly with our sports films episode. So we've got a few things to go through later with a few sporting films. They're very diverse. I was looking at the list later and when we get into them, it's like, yeah, there's so many different variations of a sports film.
Yeah,
so
I just remembered one that I worked on that I didn't put in this list.
What are you talking about? You know it though, so that's good.
I do now. Hopefully I remember.
Anyway. Yeah. What's been happening for you for the past 2 weeks now?
I took leave.
You did?
And you would think, aw, Tisha's getting some relaxing done. I just made myself very busy, booked and busy. Started off with my mum's birthday, which, you know, that sounds like a non-event. She's a Leo. So it was a 2-day event with a lead up. And then I caught up with a friend of the podcast, Brittany. Shout out to Brittany. And we did some writing. Yeah, that's been all week. Just sending stuff back and forth.
Yeah. And you're getting closer. You're getting a lot closer. You told me that yesterday on the phone.
We've got a lot done. Closer's always an interesting, like, I don't know if you ever reach it until you just go, I guess we just have to stop.
I guess
now.
We have to submit.
Like, yeah.
Like it's so out
we're
of
like,
my hands.
We're closer than we were a week ago, definitely by a lot. So good job, us. Good job, Brittany.
Well, you use the time well.
Yeah, we use time well, but close isn't interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
you know, but it's been good. So that's pretty much been me doing that, like watching some stuff and and writing. Just
yeah. Good time off period.
Pretty much.
Just for you. It's good.
And then, yeah, a little bit of podcast work, but yeah. Admittedly not lots.
We did the normal amount, which is enough to get by.
Hey, are you guys still listening at home? Or do we need to up our game?
For me, we had a bit of a week, not last week, the week before with work where there's some stuff happening in my sphere where I had to, you know, meet up with the rest of the people in my team and have like a little mini conference. And during that conference with my position, I had to do kind of like a presentation during it, and it was supposed to last like 2 hours. So that was, it was like daunting. Then the lead up, because I was like, okay, cool. I have to learn all these things, you know, make sure I'm ready to go. Because I can talk about it on the fly. And once I'm up, it's just making sure I know the stuff.
It's performance anxiety.
So, and then once I got there, I was like, okay, cool. The room we're in is fine. And it was a lot more casual than I was expecting. In my head, it was like, get up in front of like I know the team well enough. Like, I'm not afraid of them. It's just yet again, like, just remembering the stuff. But it ended up being a lot more casual in the end, which was great. So I could pretty much just sit down at the front desk seat and just kind of like go through it, casually talk about it. And it went really well. So I'm really glad that like they're all kind of really happy with how the presentation went. They're excited for the stuff that's coming up that I talked about. And yeah, that was two-day event in the city, which is really cool. One of those nights we end up going out to Brazilian barbecue.
I don't think I've had Brazilian barbecue.
Really cool. It's awesome. So you sit around a table, like a long table, and you just have like, you buy like the buffet thing.
Yeah.
And what they do is they literally just bring out these giant sticks of meat, like on this huge skewer. And what they do is like, hey, do you want a bit of this? And they just put it next to your plate and they literally cut it off next to you. And you have tongs, and all you do is you cut it, like grab it as it's getting cut off the big stick of meat and put it on your plate. It's like super fresh. It's like the best meat you'll ever eat. Like, it's so well cooked. And it's all these different variations of meat as well. And you can get other stuff. We had a halloumi and different dips and that. Oh, delicious. So it was a really nice night out as well.
I love food, so I will have to to get on that.
Because obviously we're in Brisbane City. It was a lot right along that Eagle Street Pier area, which is one like kind of like the fancy restaurant area. It was really, really good. I was really happy with the turnout of that. And then after that, I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
So it's the newest movie in the MCU universe. It is definitely taking on from the two sequels from Deadpool 1 and 2, which are in the Fox kind of universe, the Fox movies. Now that Disney's bought them, they've brought them into the MCU, and it's including Wolverine as well. So he was all said and done apparently in Logan, even though, which was a great kind of like, you know, finalization of his character arc after the 20 years he's been doing it for.
That is crazy to think about.
Yeah. It's insane how long he's been playing this character for. But being, you know, very good friends with Ryan Reynolds, the story that he pitched to Hugh Jackman, he was like, yep, that seems like actually a pretty good way to come back. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great breath of fresh air for the MCU. It can still kind of weirdly stand alone outside of the MCU at the same time.
Yeah.
If they did nothing else past this movie with those two characters, it'd be fine. They don't need to. There's no need to put them in anything else. And it was just perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. The humor is on point. You know, everyone knows that Deadpool's pretty meta.
Yeah.
Fourth wall breaking, cheeky. Yeah, it was everything I wanted. It was great cameos. Like, it was going to be known for a few different cameos that were going to come up in this movie. Perfectly put in there. And they served a purpose. They weren't just like, hey, here's that guy. Remember him? They served a purpose in the movie. Like, they actually had things to do after they were introduced, which was really cool. It did definitely, it was kind of like an epilogue for Logan as well. So it did actually continue on like that little kind of story thread as well, which is really cool. Happy with it. It was really good. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Ooh la la. No, that's cool. I haven't caught up with these. I'm so far behind on the X-Men, Deadpool.
It's a whole thing. Look, it's a lot of homework just because if you haven't been watching like the 20 years of Fox.
I haven't
X-Men been. Movies or anything. As well as the MCU movies, it's hard, but you could probably go into this and just watch on its own. It does kind of stand alone pretty well. And you know enough about what's happening in the world of movies that the jokes in there, it's like, I know what that's about. Yeah. That's fine. So, yeah, you could watch it as a standalone as well.
We went to see another movie not that long ago. What 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was now? About 2 weeks ago now. It was after the last episode.
We went to see Maxine, which we probably mentioned at the time.
We said we're going.
Yeah.
At the end of the last episode, we're like, we're going to go see Maxine tonight.
Have seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it since then. What were your thoughts straight off the bat?
I did enjoy it. Did sit there quite confused through a lot of it. And I thought, hang on, if I've forgotten a lot of the plot, is this why it's not making sense? Like of the previous ones. We got out of the cinema and I went, did that make sense to you? And you went, there were a lot of plot holes. And I went, oh, okay. So we spent a lot of right after, you know, you walk out of the cinema and you have a chit chat about it. And we spent a lot of time talking about how there were plot holes. That being said, while watching it, I still enjoyed it. I think it was incredibly stylized and that I really enjoyed. But I do think the first two were a lot stronger in vision. And I think this one was a bit maybe rushed.
Yeah, I felt the same way. We did dissect it pretty heavily once we got out of the cinema, going, why did they make this choice or why did they make that choice? And it was a little bit confusing, but like you said, the style of the film, like it perfectly encapsulated the 80s era in Hollywood. I love Mia Goth in this role. I think she's fantastic. She definitely is a star. But I think the first two movies are a lot stronger. Like X and Pearl have their own unique feel to each film, but they're just a stronger narrative as well behind it. Some of the choices later in the film in Maxine felt a little bit comical, especially with like at least the detectives that were investigating what was happening with the Night Stalker murders.
It was
a bit confusing.
We were saying there was a lot of sort of Hollywood references. Like you had Kevin Bacon's character as a cop, sort of a Chinatown-esque.
Yeah, that's what his character was based on.
There was a lot of Psycho references. I can't even remember. There were a lot though. I remember us talking about a lot of them. I think it lent more into wanting to be that Hollywood love letter rather than have a strong
It was more through-line. Style than substance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine sometimes. Like there's definitely movies out there that do it. And
I think
I didn't not enjoy it. It was still a good film. It's just the weaker of the trilogy.
I think that's a problem. The first two were such a high caliber that the bar was set almost too high.
Yeah.
And I don't think this sequel to those two really elevated the series, which is a shame.
The first two being a different genre too. So the first two being pure horror. Like X is absolutely definitely horror. Same with Pearl. Is horror as well. This one felt more like a thriller. Like it's less
slasher.
Yeah.
Which is wild because it's Night Stalker.
It was supposed to be like pure slasher horror movie, but there was just not that much in there. Like there was not that much gore compared to the first two. So I don't know if I was expecting that and therefore I was a little bit disappointed. I don't know. I'll still probably pick it up when it comes out on physical media because I do like this trilogy of films. I do want to have them. But yeah, just left me wanting a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it was one of those ones like it let itself down a bit.
Yeah, and I think what you said at the start was that it was rushed, and I think it was. I think there was a period of time where they're like, hey, we made Pearl and X back to back. Like there was no plan. Like we just wanted to make both these films. And then they were wildly successful. They were like, okay, how do we continue this and make a franchise?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the first two were like, this is the artistic vision of the like Ty West. And then this last one, it's like Hollywood's like, hey, man.
This is done very well. We can probably...
We're giving you a sequel, but you've got,
a year to write it.
Or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. It felt crammed in. Yeah, it did felt crammed in. So yeah, a little bit disappointing. But that's the two big ones we watched. I watched another film the other day, and I'll speak about it briefly, is because I've been watching so much Olympics.
Yeah.
I'll get to that afterwards. I popped on a movie while I was like half going to sleep. It interests me in the fact that it was like a murder mystery movie. And I've been watching, like, I love my, like, Glass Onion, Knives Out, that kind of thing, Poirot, those kind of movies. It's called Invitation to a Murder.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's from 2023. It popped up on my Amazon Prime list. It's like at the start and it half shows the trailer. And I kept watching the trailer when it was showing the preview. So I was like, oh, it's a bit intriguing. Like, it's a whodunit in a house, like, and there's a few different character styles as well. I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch this. And also it starred Misha Barton from The OC. And I'm like, that's my teenage years. I remember that. She's a lot older now. And she's like the central character. So her name's Miranda Green and she's putting on a British accent as well.
A good one?
It's in there.
Good on her.
I wouldn't say it's amazing. She's trying. She's trying her best. And she's like the Poirot character of this. I have a feeling they're going to try and make this into a series of movies where it's like her, she's like goes to a different setting and tries to solve a case. The issue I had with this, it's obviously low budget. It's not going to reach the heights of like Glass Onion and those kind of things. It's definitely lower class. So I was like expecting that going in. I knew I wasn't going to get like huge sets and elaborate kind of like things happen on screen. And the setup was fine. Like it's like a billionaire who, you know, invites these six people to their house over a weekend.
Okay, and so
very
not, much.
They're not sure why yet. So they're left to discover, and they're not there yet. The person who owns the house isn't there yet. And a series of events happens throughout the film and she's tries to discover what happens. So I won't go into spoilers as to what the outcome is because that's the whole point of watching these films was. But a little bit left wanting more, given I knew it was going to have a little bit of a less caliber than those other films. But we'll see what go if it does end up being a franchise. I will probably watch the next couple if they do come out because it's interesting watching Misha Barton try and be a detective on screen. I was curious as to how that was going to go. So I'm half intrigued. It wasn't amazing though.
Wasn't amazing.
So I don't know if this will be for everyone listening, but if you do like a murder mystery, maybe just check it out anyway. It was only an hour and a half.
Easy watch, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the other one I watched this week.
Yeah, I watched a bit. So obviously I finished Hacks, which I'll tell you why it's great next episode so we have something to chit chat about. But so I watched that. I rewatched Hush, which is the Mike Flanagan film.
With his wife.
Kate Siegel. I think it's like maybe my third watch.
I haven't seen it yet.
Of it. I was watching it for the thing I'm writing. So it was like a research thing and I just sat it on for the afternoon. I still like it. I still think it's a genius.
Where did you watch it?
This time I just found a link.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
It used to be on Netflix.
Because I've tried to look for it before.
It had a deal with Netflix. They've recently been talking about the fact because now Netflix
put it back on.
The license is off. No. Yeah. So Mike and Kate Siegel, his wife, who co-wrote it, they're trying to get it on physical media now. Oh, cool. So I think it's going to be out in the States. We'll probably end up with it.
Okay. Well, I'll pick that up.
Yeah, I don't know where it is currently. I found it dodgy, but you know.
I've done a few of those. It's fine.
It's fine. We pay for a lot. Well, you pay for a lot.
I do.
Yeah. And then, I watched a comedy special because I was very much into Hacks and I was like, I want to see what else she's got because she was a stand-up comedian before she went to Hacks. It was like her first acting role.
Yeah, cool.
And her parents are like her mom, Hannah Einbeiner, is like SNL original royalty. Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that either.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm like,
That's great.
That is a wild dedication to comedy.
Side note, you know they're making a Saturday Night Live movie.
I have seen that.
Yeah, it's just called Saturday Night. It's got a bunch of different people playing those original cast members and it's like the
interesting
how they came about making the
show.
I
would love to know because I feel like I'm so late in the SNL game.
We're seeing the current stuff. It's not came from.
It's American. It's hard to get American stuff in Australia. Like it took a long time before we even kind of were like, oh, what is this SNL that they talk about? Yeah. But so I watched that.
Mm.
Great.
Funny.
I liked it. Yeah. My humor.
Yeah.
Some people are like, not funny. And I'm like, I've laughed lots. So okay. I guess it.
Well, that's like any stand up. It's not for everyone.
But I thought it was good. And then I watched Ponyo as well, which is for an upcoming episode. I watched it in, unfortunately, three parts. It's an hour and a half movie.
You struggled. Not because of the film, but
no, it was
a
very
struggled.
Good film. I watched some of it and then I was like, I'm tired. I need to go to sleep because I needed to get up and do more writing in the morning. So I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't stay up till like, you know.
Midnight or something.
Past midnight. Oh, so okay. I was like, yeah, probably should. So I turned it off and then the next day I watched a little bit of it and I went, you should be doing more writing. So I.
Same thing.
I stopped, went stopped back again. To writing. And then, finished off that night, which is kind of.
Is this funny that
I'm not happy about it.
You picked the one movie that's probably the shortest Studio Ghibli to do in three parts. Now, we've obviously got a bunch to watch soon. They're all like 2 hours to 2.5 hours.
I know. And my little brain shuts off in animation.
Yeah, it's hard.
While.
I was watching Lupita, the first one they made.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. It's really good story. And you can see where a lot of current films take
inspiration
from it. It's a really good film, but I know exactly what you mean when you say it's hard to consume anime. Like that way?
Oh, it's not necessarily anime, just like anything animation? like a long form animation.
Yeah, I agree.
My brain goes for a walk.
I was struggling to stay attentive for Lupita as well. It's Castle in the Sky as well. That's the tagline. Yeah. Even though it's a fantastic film, genius. I was liking it. It was just hard to stay in that whole time because I think that's a 2 hour one in particular, two hours ten, and yeah, it's going to be a struggle for these Studio Ghibli films that we're about to go through in the next couple of weeks. Not because they're bad.
No, they're genius. They're really good films. I love them, but I struggle.
It's something to talk about.
We were talking about this with me and like any action sequence.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's bad. I'll be in the cinema like, yeah, this is great. And then there'll be like a long action sequence in a film like The Avengers or something where
it's like a pinnacle moment. You know what's coming.
It'll be the like the end of the second act getting into the third, like the climax of the film.
Yeah.
And I just start, my brain goes, I have so many conversations in my head about all the things I need to do this week and what's this and what's that. And oh, they've done this, they've done that with the film. And then I'm like, dude, you've focus. Paid money to see down, this.
Watch it.
I'm like, yeah, but they're just fighting. Like, it's fine. Like, I think because I know. Because
it's just a fight, you will wait for the outcome.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I know what's going to happen.
Well, you kind of do.
It's like, it'll be relatively fine.
Yeah.
And so I just, my brain goes off. And then I'm like,
I understand that.
It sucks so much.
It's hard then because from the filmmaker's perspective, they've got to somehow keep audiences encapsulated during a fight scene.
I don't think this is a everyone problem. I think this is a me problem.
Well, that happens to me when I watch Transformer films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I still kind of want to, I'm still watching them. I want to obviously see where the outcome is. But when it comes to the fight scenes in Transformers, because there's so much bling happening on the screen, I'm like, I don't know. Who's fighting who? I'll wait till the end.
Watch extended cuts of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I can. I will. And I'm going to make you do it during our episode we're going to do start of next year.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, we got the whole summer break to get that one done.
Yeah. I don't know how much attention I'll be paying. Can't lie.
I'm going to have to move every fidget spinner away from you. No, I'm going to
need
you.
That.
You will actually to watch them. I don't see, that's the thing I can't understand is I literally love the Lord of the Rings films, right?
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of it. Like, give me extended cut, give me deleted scenes, give me all of it. Because I just think there's some, for me, and I get it, it's not for everyone. For me, it's some of the best films ever made. Like this, the trilogy, it's all thought out. It's all planned.
Yeah.
It's all shot at once just to give you this entire story from start to finish. And it's done so well, I think. And given the time frame of like 2001 to 2003, and they would have filmed it around 2000.
Yeah.
What it looked like and what it came out to look like on screen at that time, I think it's quite stunning.
It's
exactly right. And so, and I think it holds up today. You can put them on now and go, wow, that is, that's an epic. So, but I get if fantasy isn't your thing, and I think we spoke about that before, it's not exactly your go-to genre.
No, I'm starting to learn things about myself. Yeah.
Which is good. We're learning things on this podcast and watching more and more films. But yeah, I think fantasy is the ones you struggle with where it's like, you know, like that medieval type fantasy.
I don't know.
Where it sits in that kind of field.
I think I like it, but also, I don't know. I thought I liked it.
You like wizarding stuff.
Do I?
You separate
or
that.
Or do I just like some?
Do you just like Harry Potter?
I don't, yeah. I'm not sure.
So you might not like fantasy.
Like I'm really
not
sure.
You like Dungeons and Dragons though.
That was fun.
See? But was that because of its comedy element?
I don't know. I think I get bored with world building.
Okay. You think if there's too much.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, but why do I care?
Like, okay, so what's the end result?
Yeah, yeah. I need to like be ride or die for these people.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
It's not Fast and Furious.
I believe that term was coined before that.
but we
do share a name and nearly a birthday with that character, which is bizarre.
Letty.
Doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't. September.
Yep.
Interesting. But yes, when we get to next year, the first couple episodes, be prepared. We are doing a deep dive in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Oh, well, you can't do both to me. Come on now.
I could. Do you want to separate the episodes?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do one. Let's not push it all on you at
holy
once.
Jesus. How many hours do you think I have?
It's a whole day of watching.
I've done a Harry Potter marathon.
Okay, if you can do that. That's longer than Lord of the Rings.
I don't think I made that through, and I will talk
that's
about
like 16
that
hours.
In a Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We'll make an episode, and I'll get into that because, oh boy.
It's hard. I think
that ruined Harry Potter for me a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to do in one go. They're all great films.
It was hard to do in one go, I'll tell you that much.
In their own right.
I've been there.
It's hard, especially when you get to those last two. Because they're not like, in my opinion, I know we're going to get this deep dive in an episode later, but in my opinion, I've read the books. It's the weakest book for me. I think because there's the structure is so
it's different.
You're exactly right. You've got six books, 6 years of school. Harry's life set in a school. Mm-hmm. It's set exactly the same way. It's like Dursley's school, issue, climax, go home.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing for the whole 6 years. And then you get to book seven and it's just like, oh, formula out the window. It's completely different. This happens and that happens and something else happens in between. Then there's a lull for about 200 pages of them just bickering in a forest.
Yeah.
It is oddly paced.
But when Ron comes back, it is worth it.
It's a great thing that happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't read them since high school.
Yeah, it's been a while since
I read them. I finished them. It took me a long time to finish them.
Yeah, no, I've read them all too.
And then I didn't stop reading them for
you kept over and over reading them. But yeah
baby, I know, that last something. One. I need that escapism. Yeah.
Get me away from here.
Yeah.
Get me away from here.
Anywho, speaking let's get into
what I've been at. No, well, no? I wanted to talk a little bit about the.
Segue.
Well, it kind of is. We're starting to get into sports. Paris Olympics.
Olympics.
We've been watching it. Well, I've been watching a hell of a lot more than you because I've got, well, you do too, but I've got the Stan special in Australia, which if you pay like a little bit more to get the sport package means you get the 30 channels of
sport,
the Olympics, the sports. So we've been just here, just been flicking from one to the other. It's like if that one finishes, we pick something else. So I've been getting heavily involved in a lot of different sports. I watched the entire 20 kilometers of the walking the other day.
Is that in the Olympics?
What That's in the Olympics. So
I could be an Olympian.
Well, give me. I'll explain
the parameters.
I'll explain the walking. The walking is, it's 20 kilometers. It was a circuit around. It was right in front of the Eiffel Tower, of like 1K. So it's 20 laps around. You aren't allowed to lift 1 foot off the ground at any time. Like only 1 foot has to stay on the ground at any time.
What?
1 foot has to stay on the ground at any time. Like you're walking, so you can't run. So if you lift 2 feet, like here you run, you actually have 2 feet off the ground.
Do you? Yeah. I don't know the science of running.
When you go to run next, watch.
I'm already a bad runner.
And also you have to lock your knees. So they're the two main rules with walking. So you mentioned Kath and Kim walking.
Yeah,
you
know, is that the way?
Yeah, it's gotta go. That. So basically that. So they managed to finish, the men managed to finish, I think in 1:20.
Okay.
For perspective,
that's
like
pretty good actually.
That's incredibly good. Like running 10Ks an hour is like 10Ks an hour. Like the speed that they're walking at is incredibly fast.
I'm a pretty fast walker though.
Okay, well if I see you at the
I didn't say I want to go to the Olympics.
2032 Brisbane Olympics.
I just said I like, you know, like when you Google and it's like how long? Yeah. I'm like, oh baby, cut that time in half. I'll be there.
I'll be there. So I've been watching a lot of that. I've been watching, this is a fun little anecdote. I've been watching a lot of the archery.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Ben, my housemate, the other day, I was like, I reckon I can get to the 2032 Olympics for archery. And he's like, I don't think you can. So we've made a bet. I'm like, I'm going to start practicing archery. I'm going to try and get into a club. And I'm going to try and see if I can get to the 2032 Olympics.
Okay, well.
I've got 8 years.
Here we go. My sister and my good friend, they already shoot in a club. So
okay. Sign me up.
Are we going to join them?
We can join
you
them.
You and me.
I was like, would you give me your car if I do? And he was like, sure. I was like, sweet, I'm getting the Jimny. So I've got a point to prove.
All right, cool. Saturdays.
Although.
Archery.
Let's do it. That's pretty early.
Do I have to join?
Oh, I find out from your sister.
I've got other hobbies. You can join.
I didn't realize, because in the screen when they show you on the actual televised
are they using
event,
compound bows or like?
Compound.
Uh-huh.
I've looked up all the brands and stuff as well. It's fine.
Oh my God, you're actually in.
I'm doing it. So
can't wait.
On the screen, they don't show you how the actual distance. I know how long it is, but like the perception of when the camera shows how far it is away from the person, it's going down ways, which means your perception is, oh, okay, that doesn't look that far. I saw a video the other day of like someone who was sitting in the stands of where they were to where they're shooting. And you're like, ah, that is actually quite some distance. So it is actually 70 meters away from the actual target.
Mm. That's a long way.
It's quite a long way. You think a football field's 100 meters.
I think so how long I had to run in my little school races. Yeah.
So it's like
quite
a distance.
Yep.
It's going to take a little bit of practice, I think, before we're at the 2032 Brisbane Olympics. At least we don't have to travel far.
It is true.
We will be here ready to go.
I ran on the original running track in Greece.
Did you?
Yeah, where they do the Olympics.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
There's a, I don't know, it's probably a video of me if you really want to see that.
It's up on Instagram now.
Probably, actually. Yeah, no, like they still have the original marble, which is like.
That's crazy.
Like actually mind boggling. Like I can't, I was there and I touched it and I ran on it, but like you can't fathom.
Yeah, what that it would have been like.
Yeah, so yeah. Like we ran on the original track.
That's awesome.
Like where they start the torch, the flame.
Yep.
Like we're just hanging out there.
That's cool.
We just walked around Olympia.
Yeah. I find the Olympics so fascinating.
It's nuts.
I get so involved because of watching these athletes who obviously train nearly their entire lives to get to this point and just watch the pinnacle of that particular thing.
Yeah, it's cool.
Played out. It's really cool. Like I watched the gymnastics the other night Simone Biles' finals.
Oh my God.
She's on another level. She is a completely one of a generation style sportswoman. It's insane to watch her.
Good for her, like last Olympics where she said like, I got to stop.
I'm having a break.
Like good for you.
Yeah.
Because no one else is doing that.
But it's clearly like having a break helped her mentally and probably physically in the end, actually having a break and coming back when she was ready to.
Well, I've like.
Because watching her win the gold, I'm like, oh, she won by like 2 points above everyone else.
But she is just elite. It's insane. Because she was talking about the thing that they get. I can't think what it's called. There's a term for it. There's a term for the thing that she had last time. That's why she couldn't compete. Like she had to stop. It's like a gymnastics thing. Mm. And actually like hearing her talk about what that does is like, it's just mind blowing. And you're like, yeah, of course you didn't like go and compete at the Olympics. Like
that would have been brutal.
It's the way where you're like, you, like if you're like, say for example, standing up, like it feels like you're upside down kind of thing. Like your brain and your body
like,
is
it's like
just
opposite
so,
vertigo, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a thing for, anyway, whatever. I'm not an athlete, but.
Not yet.
What am I going to compete in?
You could be, there's a bunch of different things. Ping pong, shooting, badminton, BMX. I've watched it all.
You pick
week.
Which one you think I should be. I will. What do you think I've got? What do I have got goes for?
I'll think about it. There's trampolining.
I didn't do that. My sister did.
Okay. I'll get back to you on that. I'll pick
my knees can't handle trampolining.
You're getting old.
Oh my God. I'm 26.
So yeah, I've watched obviously a bunch and bunch and a bunch. It's getting towards the end of it, so I'm getting a little bit sad because I put it on and watch something and move on to the next thing. It's great. I love it. And then obviously we spoke about this during the week that the next one's going to be in LA.
Oh, is it?
In 2028.
I haven't looked into it.
Which is why you sent me the Tom Cruise article.
I didn't read that.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Yeah.
So Tom Cruise is going to be at the closing ceremony of the Paris Olympics. He has already pre-recorded skydiving onto the Hollywood sign.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's
I didn't
what
read
it,
it.
Is. So obviously he's pre-recorded that. So when they show it at the closing
right,
ceremony,
it opens
comes,
the next.
Yeah, it comes to the next thing. So it's in LA, and the next one in 2028. And so Tom Cruise has done some stunt work for that, which is really cool.
Can you get an Olympic gold medal for getting lost in the Hollywood Hills? Because I've had practice.
I feel like you'd be up there with a few other people though. I don't think you'd be the first.
No, it's haunted up there.
It is.
Genuinely. There's a fence now.
Also, there's probably like creepy homeless people or something up there.
I don't think they're in the hills.
Who knows? I haven't
they're
been
just
there.
On, yeah, it's pretty brutal. They're just like, I nearly ended up on Skid Row.
That is scary.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And depressing?
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't get that far. I didn't get into like, I am on Skid Row. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just knew this area is a bit sketchy.
Let's get an Uber
I
quickly.
Should probably, Uber. And then the lady's like, get in the car. What are you kids doing? And we're like, trying to leave. Like,
I don't know.
Give us a break, lady. Like, we've booked the Uber. We're getting in. sometimes it does pay off to grow up where I've grown up.
Yeah,
not to name drop, but it helps because I was like, I think he's cool. Let's just chill. But I make some interesting choices on trips.
Yes. Speaking of which, we need to get into the topic now. That was a good segue from Paris Olympics, I think.
I think so.
Straight into sport films, guys. So we're going to talk about sport films, and then there's a myriad of these.
There is.
When you think about sport films, how would you define them? Like, how would you kind of go, that's a sport film? Like, what makes the story go, oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is getting really wanky, but like into writer thing. But if the story, like the conflict of the story outwardly is whatever sport they're competing in, or they pick up a sport to then, play it. And that is where most of it takes place, is around the actual event of sporting. I think that's a sports film.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that entirely. But and another kind of, I guess that's the definition, but like another trope of it is like it's generally like an underdog story.
Often, yeah.
Often it's like, you know, rags to riches style.
We love a good underdog and it fits in sports.
It fits in sports amazingly. It's like the main central character or characters have like, you know, a pretty big challenge on their hands to overcome, not just the sport usually. It's usually something else personal as well. And they usually overcome both at the same time, generally. And then obviously there's the resolution. Not always, but it's pretty common in these kind of movies.
There's codes and conventions. And like they're pretty
cool runnings.
Oh my God. One of my favorite, let's get in. One of my favorite sports cool runnings. Oh my God. I think my mum picked this up for me when I was like nine.
Very young. Cause it's been out since 1994.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was older than that.
It's 30 years old.
Only because when I think of stuff that my mum brought home and said, this is a really good film, as like in my brain, I'm like, oh, she must have seen it.
Ages ago.
Yeah. For her to be like, here's the one now for you.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
Yeah, no. It's like 93, 94 film. Because it was, John Candy's last film. And he passed away, I think, late 94.
That he is so good in that. I love it.
He's such a good coach as well.
I quote it all the time.
You do it to me whenever I'm like late or
just, I just want to make sure you're alive awake.
Sangha, you're dead.
Yaman. Yeah, my sister and I do it all the time.
My lucky egg.
To the point where we're like, one day, what if you are dead? And we go, Sangha, you're dead.
And no one responds.
And no one goes, Yaman.
Yaman.
Yeah, kiss my lucky egg. I'll draw a line down your head so it looks like a butt.
Edgar, and go in. I love it. It's so quotable. But even still.
I see pride.
I see power.
I see a badass mother who don't take no crap from nobody. Again, I see pride. Pride.
We could go on for days.
I could.
But these central characters have to overcome a personal challenge as well, because they get disqualified from the Olympics when they're running and then they're really down on their luck. And the main runner kind of goes, okay, I can see a way around this. Like, we need to find another way to be successful because we can't work, you know, great runners and stuff. So he picks bobsledding and then he tries to find a few people that are interested in doing that. Obviously, this is a pretty streamlined storyline. It probably takes liberties in terms of what actually happened. Yeah. But the two people he accidentally tripped over are the two people who join his team in the end because everyone else leaves.
Yeah. Remember
the scene where they're showing the movie off of the old bobsleds crashing all the time and then they turn the lights back on and it's only those guys left. And obviously his friend with the lucky egg who's just his friend.
Sangha.
And yeah, so that's them overcoming, I guess, a challenge was they're not going to make the Olympics. How can they be successful? But also for like a couple of the characters, like one in particular, the guy from the rich family, who his dad's like, no, you're going to be a lawyer. He's like, no, this is like, I can be successful in this. I want to do it. So he's obviously overcoming personal issues as well.
It is a beautiful like arc with him.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And obviously he gets along well with the tough guy one as well. Yeah. Like they bond.
I don't remember his story. Oh, didn't he get tripped over?
They both did.
So that's sort of his thing. He just wants something.
He's the one who holds the grudge a little bit longer than the rest of them for getting tripped over. But then obviously he goes to love them and see that they're actually becoming successful in this thing they're doing. So, and obviously John Candy's like a great like mentor as well in this film. Yeah. It's really endearing.
He doesn't
want to
be there, but
he's really, well, he's also like the quote unquote washed up coach from before, and they use him and he uses them to like, you know, be successful again. Yeah. It's a really good film. It's funny as hell.
It's so funny.
And it's an Olympic movie. It's a winter Olympic movie, but it's an Olympic movie. And it's got the tropes in there. It's got all the tropes from like rags to riches. And that last scene when they're holding the bobsled and walking over the line.
Yeah, that's right.
Iconic because they end up crashing out as well. Yeah.
It truly, like, I need to rewatch. I haven't seen this in
quite a long time. It's been really good.
It was one of those ones that, I got it and then it was like, okay, this is going to be the movie on repeat for the next however long.
I was going to ask you about one.
Yeah.
And I never got a chance to see it, but I want to kind of you talk to me about it, is another Winter Olympic movie. It's I, Tonya.
Haven't you seen it?
I haven't actually seen it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm just surprised.
I knew what happened. So I know the whole real life story around it. Yeah, but I've just never gotten. That's like what the one Margot Robbie film I have not sat down and watched.
Wild. I saw this. This was out in 2017 and I was in uni. So I went to the cinema to see this one. And I I love it. I think it was seeing this movie, I was like, and she was obviously up for a bunch of Academy Awards, but I was like, oh, this like little Neighbours Australian girl who kind of was to a degree. I was like, she's got something in terms of her acting ability, storytelling, because she produced this. This is one of her Lucky Chap ones. Yeah,
cool.
And I was like, this is up there. So basically it tells the story of
Tonya
Harding.
Yeah.
It's sort of like as if someone's sitting there with a camcorder recording them, like interview style.
Yeah, okay.
So it's between that and then it'll cut to like what, like we're watching it as if it's like really happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not like a recreation of, it's like you then go into the memory, I suppose. It is a solid film.
Okay.
Just, it's funny. Alison Janney
I was gonna
is
say, I heard a lot about Alison Janney,
but she's like the, like she plays it
perfectly.
Oh, it's so good.
She's the mother? Is she her mother?
Yeah, yeah. And she's a tough broad.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of like establishing why, maybe trying to justify maybe what Tonya did.
Yeah, or it's more
given her experience with her mom.
Reaction. Yeah, it's kind of, this is the sort of person that she is to become the athlete
she became, yeah.
And then how she deals with the ending of it, because outcome. She obviously didn't kneecap him.
No.
It was her ex. So it's like, or kneecap her, sorry. Yeah. So like she wasn't the one that was actively involved, but like how does she lose out from the actions of the people around her that are sort of like holding on to her fame kind of thing. But it is just one of the most solid films. I haven't seen it in a long time, but
I might watch it soon because it's on my list on one of the streaming services. I didn't get to do it in time. The actual Olympics overtook precedence.
Yeah, no, definitely watch it. I've got it somewhere, but it is up there as a sports film to watch. It is unbelievable.
It's like
good.
One of those ones you go, yep, okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one that's a bit of a comedy. It's a bit of a comedy, but it's definitely a sports film. Same thing, Rags to Riches.
Yeah.
It's called Dodgeball.
I know,
I
didn't get to watch it.
A true underdog story. Have you seen it before?
No, I think bits. It's been on TV for my whole life, but I've never sat down with it.
It's one of my comfort movies for like how fun it is.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball. Which honestly, fair.
Dip, dodge, duck, dive, dodge. It's like the 5 Ds of dodgeball. It's very funny. Like everyone plays a really good part in this. Ben Stiller plays like the crazy gym club owner from across the street, and they're trying to buy out the gym that they all work in just to like make a big center rather than have just one across the road. And the only way they can see is to make the money in time to like buy the lease on the place before Ben Stiller can is in a dodgeball tournament. They're just like, oh, we could play this. And they get the coach who's ripped torn, and he just plays it beautifully. Like he's just down, like he's like the worst. And I think Ben Stiller's character gets wind of their entering the dodgeball tournament to win the money. And they're like, well, we're these elite gym members, people. We can beat them in a dodgeball tournament, no worries. So it just takes off from there. And it's so funny. And it's got his wife in it too. It's got Christine Taylor in it as, funnily enough, Vince Vaughn's love interest in this.
Odd when they do that. They go, you know what?
Play across from
each
other.
You're my friend, but you can have it.
Weird. Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. She's great in this too. Justin Long in one of the first films I saw him in. Like he was very young in this. He plays like the like nerdy geek character who's just a bit sweaty the whole time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a really good film. I had a lot of fun with it, but it same thing, same trope. It's down in their luck, come to a challenge, gets to a climax and resolution based on that, and they triumph in the end.
Yeah. So there's always a nice ending.
It's very funny.
I've been meaning to actually sit down with this one for quite a while. Because like I said, I've seen it like in bits.
Yeah. Forever. Everyone seems like the quote parts of it, but watching it through is so good.
So I need to do that. I want to talk about one that isn't funny. I watched Million Dollar Baby.
I was
going to
say, is it Million Dollar Baby?
Because
it's nothing but sadness around this film.
Oh my God. I was coming back.
Good film.
Oh, though. It is genius. I don't want to ever see it again.
No.
I was coming back from LA. I hadn't slept in like 40 probably hours.
And you picked that one?
I didn't know what it was about. And I thought, oh, this looks good. I'll stick this on. I spoke to my friend, like again, Brittany, about this just 2 days ago. And I was like, I can't believe you didn't notice. So I'm there crying. When I say crying, I mean like.
Bawling?
Oh, I could not get it together. There was like snot, like it was just, it was foul. And it was going off like an hour. Like every time I would like steal myself.
Yeah.
That, you know, there'd be another beat and I would just be, you know, sobbing. I don't even know if weeping. It was bad. And I was deeply aware of my friend sitting
right next to you.
Right next to me. Right and I couldn't get, and I finally, like, the movie finishes. I go to the airplane bathroom. I wash my face. Up. I come back and I sit down and I turn to my friend and I go, "I'm so sorry." And Brittany goes, "What? What are you talking about? What do you mean sorry?" Oh, and nothing. I'm like, "Oh, you mean you didn't see me ugly crying for like the last hour and a half?" She goes, "No, no, so, it's all good." She puts her headphones back on and she continues to watch whatever movie it was she was watching.
What for you made it such a sad film? Like what are the parts that made it, like, was it the, like, any filmmaking, the story, the character, like the acting? Talk to me.
Couldn't tell you. Because I think it was like one of those, you're so emotional, you just kind of block it. Yeah. I think it was just, it has this really solid like arc, because obviously it's the story of her character Maggie, who is just like, "I'm going to be a boxer," basically. And they're like, "Well, you're a woman, so."
Yeah, there's that whole challenge at the start.
Get over it. And then she's like, "No, like, I'm serious about it. I want to do it." And she and Clint Eastwood character owns the gym, and then there's like someone, like a trainer or whatever, and they just, well, maybe it's the other way around. Anyway, but they get to a point where they've both just formed this like
bond.
Yeah. And then she gets in the fight, she's doing incredibly well, and she gets like knocked out, like it something to the neck, and just severs like the spinal cords or something.
She hits the, you know, the chair they sit
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
she gets knocked out, but there's a chair left in the corner ring, of the ring when it shouldn't have been, and she lands on it, and it severs her spinal cord.
Yeah, and it's just from then out, it is just,
yeah, because she's still alive.
Heartbreaking. Yeah,
it's so well acted, because I remember seeing this. Hilary Swank, I think she won Best Actress for it.
She's
at the
incredible.
Time.
She's not really at that level now, but she's been up for a few awards.
Karate Kid
at
3,
the time.
The next Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah. Boys Don't Cry. She was.
Yeah, she's
at the time.
I think she's great. She's a very great character actor, actually. This is a Clint Eastwood directed film too. So I think props to his directing.
Stunning.
So well done. And the story is, it's not a happy film.
No, I thought it was going to be. I was like, oh, sports film, uplifting. No.
Yeah, it's not. It's very, very sad.
Oh, there's
pure sadness, but it's so beautiful at the same time.
Oh, no,
it
is.
It's such a beautiful film.
But just watch it, you know, prepared.
But yeah, go into this knowing that you're going to appreciate an amazing film, but you're not going to feel good afterwards.
No,
as
don't watch it on a plane.
No, not around other people. No. If you want to be by yourself, do that.
It was the worst thing. I don't like crying in front of people. Like, I will go and cry
in a corner
and come back and be like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah. Not that trip.
No, there's a reason why this was up for so many awards. It was a beautiful film.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning film. But yeah, definitely still a sports film.
Yeah, it's funny.
Revolve around the boxing
ring. Because that one gets known as like the first female boxer film. But Girl Fight came well before with good old Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, I was writing.
Have you seen it?
No, I was writing up the synopsis last night, and I was like, I haven't seen this, but it sounds interesting and cool. I would check it out. Like, it's 2000.
I've seen it.
So talk to me about it.
Like, I don't remember heaps and heaps because I saw it quite
same
a few
time
years
of thing
now.
Though. Like, is it like a girl who's trying to end up boxing? Obviously, everyone's like, you can't because you're a woman, kind of thing. Yeah,
I think, like, I haven't seen it in a long, long time, so I can't speak on it like as if I'd seen it yesterday. But at the time watching it, I was really shocked. It was like Michelle Rodriguez's first acting role.
It's before Fast and Furious.
And she's very, from my memory, very, very good in this. Mm. Like a solid actress, not just like, oh, I'm just in Fast and Furious doing my shtick. Like, professional actress. Very good film. She also did Blue Crush. Another
sports
film.
She did Blue Crush, yes. She's done a lot. Yeah, surfing is a sport.
Competition? Yeah, no, I know, but I just can't remember how much of it's
actual, like a sport.
Yeah.
Competition.
But no, Girl Fight was good.
Yeah. Speaking of boxing, I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Put him up.
Rocky, and the seven films that come after.
Yeah, I just sort of Rocky.
Yeah, we put that collectively together as like Rocky, but there's also obviously the Creed series that spin off from it now, and there's like five Rocky films and three Creed films.
I think I've only ever seen the first.
First Rocky?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so I can speak to it a little bit more. I've seen all of them. Rocky, the particular first movie, is such a unique idea.
Yeah.
Well, yet again, it's that same trope, rags to riches.
That montage is beautiful.
Amazing.
The montage of all montages. And
Sylvester Stallone wrote it.
Yeah.
Wrote this, and I think he got a Oscar for the writing.
It's one of those things, right? That, like, you watch it now, and you're like,
it's
misogynistic.
It is.
I'm not saying you can't watch it now. Absolutely watch it. It's a great film. I don't want to take that away, but it is one of those things that product of its time a little bit.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you watch it now and you're like, okay.
You're like, oh.
We forget this, which is fine.
I mean, it's 1976, mm-hmm. even when it came out. Like, it's a time and place. We know it's a time and place movie.
It is just funny, to watch stuff at a different time and you look back and you're like, okay.
It's funny because if you watch it now and knowing what movies have come since, you just go, Rocky's a simple film. But then you got to remember there was nothing before it at the time. So that whole, like, you know, this nothing nobody fighter who's just in a common gym gets the opportunity to fight like the big national known heavyweight title champion, Apollo Creed, who's played by Carl Weathers, in especially a publicity stunt fight where he's like, yeah, I can, oh, I'm giving someone the opportunity to.
Yeah.
And Rocky gets picked and he obviously wants to take this seriously. So he trains and trains and trains, hence the montage and stuff. And it's a really beautiful film and it's got a lot to do with his personal life as well. You know, he's quite poor. He's in a poor part of Philadelphia and how this opportunity means everything to him. But like for some of like Carl Weathers, it means basically
whatever,
next to nothing. And then what happens in the end, you know, it's a beautiful film. And then obviously you've got every myriad of sequel after that. The second one is mostly the same beats as the first one.
I might have seen it, but I'm not certain.
It's mostly the same. Obviously, it's just the rematch fight one because, you know, Carl Weathers wants a rematch.
To claim that title.
Yeah. 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 And then the third one is where he fights Carl Weathers again, but like as friends. I can't remember the third one too much. The fourth one's the most iconic one besides the first one. Because it's the one where he versus Dolph Lundgren. It's the one versus Russia. It's like the big Cold War one.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, it was it was during the time where it was like the intentions between Russia and US. And they made this film, Rocky IV. And Dolph is like the enemy. And Dolph, at the start of the film, fights Carl Weathers' character, Apollo, and ends up killing him in a fight. It's like, if he dies, he dies. Like that iconic quote. And so Rocky takes it super personal because they've become friends since the first three films, him and Apollo. Yeah, there's this whole montage at the end of the fourth film where like they're training for this fight between Dolph and himself. And it's funny, like when Rocky's training, he's out in the wilderness, like in the snow, and he's training with all these like natural things, like he's picking up pieces of wood and stuff. Yeah. And then it cuts to like Dolph training and he's in like in a chemical bio lab and he's got all these like electronic equipment on himself and, you know, training.
My God, he's like a Cold War super
soldier. Yeah, they're saying like, no, Americans are like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very much
from
like
the Earth, you know. Yeah.
it's a very strongly political movie without being
political, of course it is.
For the time and place it came out. But I love that film. I love it.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one's weird. So by that time, he's obviously become a hugely successful boxer. And he's got a fair amount of money behind him and stuff. He's comfortable. He's life with Adrian. And we get to the fifth one and, like, it turns out, like, someone in his family has been, like, not paying taxes or something, like one of his like trainers or something like that. And so he loses all his money. He has to go back to the slums where he lived in the first one. And he ends up not being good enough to fight anymore. So he starts training someone else up. And then that person like dogs him or something and goes in. And then he has to fight that person. It's on the streets. It's very weird. It's a 90s film by that point. So
yeah, it begs the question. Do we need five Rocky films?
I know. It was obviously making money.
You know what I mean? They're like, it's like, wow, we're really beating a dead horse.
Oh, 100%. I think
like five? It's a boxing
even
film.
Even four, it didn't. Like the fourth one of my favorites, but it didn't need probably.
No.
It didn't need any sequels.
There's a lot.
It's a great story.
Boxing ones.
Yeah, you got Raging Bull. I was going to say Raging Bull. We've talked about that before. Raging Bull is like a huge one as well. There's a bunch of, boxing's a big one when it comes to sporting films.
I guess there's a.
Creed, obviously.
You can shoot
ones.
Them quite nicely. And it's easy to fake.
Yeah, well, they did something in Creed 3 that was interesting. I think it was a COVID film, so that's probably why it happened that way. But what they did was they started out with a crowd around him, but then the rest of the film, they look at each other, and then like the crowd like goes, disappears, and it's like the fight's only between them. Like that's the story now. Yeah. It's just between them. Nothing else matters, kind of thing. But obviously, it was actually a filming.
Yeah.
Technique as well. So they didn't
have to have limitations. Yeah.
Didn't have to have anyone else on set. So, yeah, it obviously would be easy to film.
I want to talk about one. Do you remember? Oh, two actually, because they kind of go hand in hand. The Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, baby. I was both.
Yeah.
In my childhood, I watched the original, loved it. Mm-hmm. Loved the original. I think I saw it that many times, but just
I've seen the original. Yeah.
Took it from the video store or something. I then went to see the remake with Jaden Smith.
I haven't seen that one. When Jackie Chan's
and Jackie Mr. Chan, Miyagi. Yeah. And I think it's Taraji P. Henson, who's his mom.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film. It's kind of, it's exact
same. It's just a plain remake. It's a
plain remake, yeah. Except now they've gone to China.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I like the first one.
It's something that like the original one.
Ralph Macchio, whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio. It had something, that one, and it still holds up, like the test of time, probably more than definitely the
I didn't realize Elizabeth Shue is the love interest in the first one. I was like, oh my God, I know that face.
And what's she been in apart from that?
She's in a bunch of different things, like a bunch of different movies. She was in the first season of The Boys as well.
Like I know her, but I can't picture her. Anyway, but yeah, no, Karate Kid, solid. I think that is like the sports film of sports films for kids.
Yeah.
And now Cobra Kai is like.
It's huge. It's on Netflix. It's everywhere. I think they're about to come into their last season.
Yeah.
I think this year is their last season. But it's like five seasons
in. It's a lot, yeah.
It wasn't originally Netflix.
It was a YouTube.
It was a YouTube only show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it got bought out by Netflix and it's just gone
gangbusters.
Yeah. It's great, apparently. I haven't watched it yet.
No, me either. But
it does take a lot of elements from the original films. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, cool, all these characters coming back, but it's about like those characters now training up in dojos and they've rivaled dojos again, which is really cool. I like that that storyline. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
What else? There was another one, The Iron Claw.
I have not seen it yet.
It's a wrestling film, but not really boxing, but same, it's in a ring. This was another $1 million baby.
Oh.
Jesus. It's a heartbreak film, but it is beautiful at the same time.
I really want to see this one.
Yeah.
I really want to see it.
I reckon watch it by yourself again. You'll probably cry.
Thank you for that. Yep.
Yeah, it is so well done. It's Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, who's from The Bear, and a few other people as well. It's the story of the Von Rick brothers and their time in wrestling during, I think, the 80s, 90s, and just the tragedy that revolves around this family. And a lot of it stems from, like, generational sporting issues, mm-hmm. like living through your kids, basically. Yeah. And a lot of that stems from the father that they had and the outcome of how those boys feel and act because of it. It's, it's a beautiful film.
I think the thing sports films do well in that you can have different tones. Some of them are very much like this one where it's a deep film. Mm. Like there was like, you know, I don't think I ever saw it, but like Remember the Titans, I think was a big one.
You ever seen that?
Not full. I see it like half it in school.
Studied it. So I've seen it like 17 times.
Blindside was a big one we watched at school, which is a fantastic film. I think they took issue in that like the actual guy's family or the guy didn't actually get paid properly, which
I read about that somewhere. I mean, after let's be fact. Real.
Unfortunate.
He was the
I'll be surprised.
NFL first draft pick. He's probably fine.
Yeah, like whatever, but you know, white people are always profiting off, you know, it's a problem, but. Yeah.
The film itself, though.
The film itself.
Really great.
Stunning. Sandra Bullock, amazing in that, as like the mom.
Lily Collins.
Oh, yeah, she's a sister, isn't she?
Yeah.
I didn't remember her. I remember Sandra Bullock.
One of her first roles, so.
Yeah. What else we got? Challengers was a recent one.
Challengers is awesome.
Yep.
I think I've spoken about this. I've done a review, but check it out. If you haven't watched it, it's on physical media now. It is really good and definitely a sports film revolving on tennis. I love the way they frame it.
It's beautifully shot.
Beautifully shot. The framing of the match playing out to the story beats. Smart. Very smart. Loved it.
Baseball films got a league of their own, which is quite good.
I haven't seen this yet.
Really?
No. I feel like I might have when I was like seven, but that's
gone. They did a TV series, not to bring it to TV, but that is genius.
Didn't get to finish it off though.
No, but let's not get into that.
we've spoken about that before.
Because I can go on a tangent about that, but let's not do that. No, League of Our Own is the film starring Tom Hanks and Gina Davis and a bunch of other Madonnas in it. And it's all like during the war when the men were sent away and they needed someone to play. And it's just a story of like underdogs women playing sports. And they're like, we need you to look hot though. So like, let's put you in little skirts. And they're like, are you You're kidding? And yeah. a lot of the like bruises and stuff they have in the film are like
from them actually.
Yeah, not makeup, baby. They were actually sliding in. Yeah.
Oh,
and it's
crazy.
Just I've heard it's there's quite no good. Crying in baseball. It's a good film. Bull Durham's another one I watched, which is an interesting type of sports film. I watched this because I was getting really into Ted Lasso, and Juno Temple had said that this was one of the films they told her to watch to play Keely. And it's the story of like two baseball players in the league or whatever, in the minor leagues. And they're, you know, they're just trying to do their thing, but it gets a bit tricky because the love triangle, because a groupie, Annie Savoy, played by Susan Sarandon, sets her sights on one of the two men. Or both of them, really, and it's them trying to fight for her love.
It's very similar to Ted Lasso, I guess.
Yeah, and at the end she's like, the season's over. I'm going to go pick another guy next season. Like, it's just her thing. Like,
oh, wow.
She just has a, it's just her little.
Just her thing.
Her just little amusement, really. Which is a.
That's genius.
At the time, at 88, is a pretty, like, it's progressive.
Yeah.
Take on it. But it's such a good sports film in that it's so different from what you normally would get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it.
Field of Dreams is another baseball one.
I've never seen it either.
Okay, it only got added to Binge the other day and I didn't get time to watch it yet. But Kevin Costner loves his baseball, I think. He's in a few of them. And this one's, I read the synopsis about he has to build like a, or like his voice is very religious.
Yeah.
His voices and it like compels him to build like a baseball diamond in his cornfield. And apparently, like the spirits of the deceased baseball players, like visit him on the actual baseball field itself. Ray Liotta's in it as one of the players. I kind of want to check it out, knowing that premise now.
Yeah, that is sounding weirder than I ever thought.
Yeah, like, that's
because
it.
it's regarded as like a very like serious like Field of Dreams.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
But
it's
then
like
you hear
the
what
baseball
it's about,
film,
and you're like, oh, what?
Yeah, it reminds me of that film with Robert Downey Jr. called Heart and Souls. It's like. So this is going to be a tangent, but just stick with me. So there's a film, I think it's from 1993, Ron Howard directed it. And when the character of Robert Downey Jr.'s character is being born, there's a bus crash close by or something. And the people that were in the bus crash don't go to heaven. They kind of connect to this baby and they're with him his whole life. And then these spirits are always around him. And like he has to find ways to make them, you know, move on into the afterlife. I don't know. It reminded me of that when I heard about Field of Dreams. And it's like, I'm guessing it's going to be the same.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
He's probably going to have to find a way to kind of help these baseball players out from building the diamond. I don't know.
That's wild. I want to see Field of Dreams now.
Yeah, it's on Binge. So I think you've got my login. So we should watch it at some point. Check it out. Kevin Costner loves his baseball.
So I can't talk about sports films without mentioning Bennett Leigh Beckham. Which
yes,
seminal, a seminal piece of art for all of us.
I watched this at school.
Listen, it took me a while to watch this film fully. I think I'd seen part of it and went, I don't know what this is about, but I really like this. I think I just liked Keira Knightley, but who didn't? And I was like, I need to see this.
This is before Pirates.
I hadn't seen her in Pirates. I'd only seen her partially in this film and I went, something about this.
Something about
this film I'm liking. And then, yeah, like, saw it again in another bit. And then I remember at one point being like a teenager and it was on. I was like, I have to watch this. This film is genius. I was like, all right, cool. Like, let's just watch it. And like, yeah, me and my sister were like glued to it. But I have come back to this film time and time again.
It's good. It's a good story of like someone, like a character trying something outside the social norms and overcoming that stigma that comes with it. And yeah, it's a really good film. It's solid. Not much else to say about it, really, besides that. I enjoyed it when I watched it. I did study it, so I did say it a couple of times.
You studied it?
In my youth. Yeah, it was part of English.
Weird.
I can't tell you why because it's going back too many years. But yeah, I watched it a couple of times.
Interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I didn't pick the curriculum.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those films where it's like, it makes sense, but I'm also like, it had a heavy rewrite. Right? Yeah. Can you not feel the undercurrent in that film?
I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah. I don't think they're in love with him.
No.
Watch it again and think about it.
Okay. I'll watch it again. Yeah. I think so.
There's like rumors, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know how much they were into him.
Yeah. Right.
As their like coach. I mean, it's Jonathan Rhys Meyers. He was gorgeous at the time. The eyes, everyone was into him.
Stunning.
Yeah. I mean,
stunning. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. I'll need to watch it again.
But it means a lot for my people and Bennett Leigh Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham. I remember I was like, but did she bend it like Beckham?
Does it matter? No, they ran off together. They went to America. They're having a great time not thinking about their coach.
Speaking of basketball films now, if we're going to blend into a different sport, because there's a bunch of these ones. I remember writing them all down at once. Do I start off with Air Bud? Or
oh my God, I've seen Air Bud.
I wrote that down at the end. I was like, Air Bud.
There were some weird kids films. Like I remember one that I thought of, which I won't get into too much, but like Racing Stripes. I'm like, technically a
I saw that
film.
And I was like, do I write that one in?
I was very young when it came out. Let me just.
It's Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, Panettiere. And
I don't know who else.
She races it. It's so weird.
Is there a fly as well?
Yeah, Buzz and Scuzz. Yeah, I know their rap. Anyway, let's keep going.
Moving on. Yeah, that is one. So, yeah, there's a lot of animal-based sporting films as well, I guess you could say. Because Air Bud had so many, spin-offs. They had...
Yeah, I've seen probably more of the spin-offs.
Air Bud, Golden Receiver, like Golden Retriever, as the NFL one, which is great. I love that one. But also there's Coach Carter, which is a really, really good film as well, with Samuel Jackson. It's about, the team he's coaching, and they've won, six or something titles throughout the years. He ends up benching his star squad because they're failing academically at the time.
Okay.
So it's a good character study around the sport of basketball, and obviously he wants them to do not just as well in basketball, but in the grades as well. He actually gives a crap about their future, and obviously he has to overcome the backlash from everyone
who's
benching his best team, but he's obviously got a purpose for doing it as well. So yeah, it's a really good film for that. There's obviously funny basketball films, Semi-Pro. You probably haven't seen it. It's Will Ferrell. It's a Will Ferrell's type film. So you're getting a basketball type Will Ferrell film. It's got Andre 3000 in it. And if you aren't aware of who that is one member out of the two of Outkast as one of the characters. And I'll just say that there's one point where Will Ferrell's character ends up fighting a bear in the film.
All right, cool. Good for him.
On the actual court. And that's just good, should give you the idea of the type of film this is. It's a sports film.
Do you remember, is what just coming to me, do you remember Benchwarmers?
Yeah, I do remember Benchwarmers. Yeah.
Is that a sports film?
Yeah, I guess. Less so than other films.
Yeah, I was thinking from my memory.
There was The Ringer in this as well, which is the one with Johnny Knoxville from Jackass films.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it is a sports film. It's like an athletics film where he tries to fake his way onto the disabled team to... I think get money or something as well.
Wow.
It's pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Not being made today.
Wouldn't be made
today.
Holy
Jesus.
It's a touchy subject movie now.
Yeah.
But it revolves around athletics.
Oh yeah. No,
so
of course.
It is technically a sports film as well.
It is wild when you say things like that in the year 2024 and you're like, oh,
but then you go, Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. Well, okay.
It checks out.
Kind of checks out.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Mighty Ducks.
I'm sorry. They were not mine.
Did you not? Have you seen them though? Any of them?
Maybe part of one in school.
Okay. I understand why, because they are a 90s kind of Disney love.
Yeah, they
thing.
Just weren't.
They weren't in your sphere of watching. So I love the Mighty Ducks so much.
He's shaking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was called, the first one was called Champions in Australia.
I know, you've told me.
Yeah. Really weirdly why, I can't tell
they
you.
They did a lot of that in the past. They'd rename things for different.
Yeah. Coach Bombay. It's got Emilio Estevez as the coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the kid out of Dawson's Creek as one of the main players, Pacey.
Yeah, I know.
You know his face. And I love these three films. The first one's probably the best one because they're all so young and they've got, they're just the kid, misfit kids that play on the frozen lake outside.
Yeah,
and
it's weird.
Emilio Estevez is... under court order has to train these kids.
It's always some reluctant coach got to come in and sort
out
the kids.
And that's what it is.
The
and then he grows to bond with them and he wants them to win. And obviously, And then the second one's kind of the same thing where they've got to join with another team that's in the local area. I think the areas merge. Mm. So there's new characters in the team because they merge with some of the other characters and overcoming that. And the third one, they're off to college and Emilio Estevez is not in it really.
Yeah.
He has a cameo in the last 10 minutes, but it's them about going to college with a new coach. It's a bit different.
And what does that do? Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. If anyone gets a chance, watch the Mighty Ducks. They are on Disney Plus and they've got a soft spot in my heart.
You should check them out. Yeah. No. There were a lot of films at the time when I was growing up, and I didn't really watch all of them, but they were like, and some of them were sports, some weren't, but it was very much like the outcast gets thrown in. So there was like Stick It.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know what you Bring mean. It On, which I didn't see, which I know. I've seen Stick It.
Have you seen Bring It On ever?
I don't think so.
The first one's, okay, look, it has like 17 sequels now and they're all like basically like D-grade directed DVD, but that first one with Kirsten Dunst, oh, iconic.
Yeah, I know the snap. I never got that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But those ones were like big at the time. They were pumping them out. Like,
oh, they were. 100%. I know what you mean.
Anything within that. Whip It. Have you seen Whip It?
I haven't seen Whip
It. Oh, you would love Whip It.
Yeah.
It's Elliot Page, Aaliyah Shawkat, Kristen Wiig, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I love all of the people in
Juliette
this.
Lewis. Yeah. Like, and basically.
It's roller derbies.
Yeah, Elliot Page's character. I can't think of what the name is of the character. But yeah, she's just like, you know what? I'm like weird. I'm going to. And she sees this roller derby and she's like, I'm going to join roller derby. And her friend's like, no.
No, you're not
doing roller derby. And she gets in with these like mostly like adults. She's like the young kid in it. And she joins roller derby and they're all like, they're weird. Obviously they're weird. Like it's roller derby. It just comes with the territory. And that's not me being degrading. That's just honesty. But yeah, she finds her people in roller derby and they're all hilarious.
I've heard about this film for a while. And I
only saw it in the last couple of years, but it's solid.
Yeah. I need to check it out.
Yeah.
I've got a couple other ones in here. Like you wouldn't have seen this, and this is definitely one up only probably my alley and my age group and my humor.
Go on.
Basketball. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Not even a little bit.
Have you heard of it though?
No, regale me.
So this is a live action starring the creators of South Park.
Okay.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah.
And what they do is they create this game where it's a mix of basketball and baseball in one.
Checks out for those two.
Yep. And they create this, it created in like the front like driveway of some party, and it takes off, and some dude who's like a Texan, you know, rich oil person finds out about it and wants to create a league of this sport.
Oh my God.
And they become like some of the leading players in it. There's another character called Squeak, who's their third player in the team, who's like this short dude. And there's just jokes thrown at him the whole time. It's like South Park humor and South Park jokes, but in a live action based around this sport that they make. It's like the rules keep changing every time there's a new game. It's very funny. It's like they keep changing the rules. It's like every time you get onto like one part of the D on the baseball diamond, you have to take a shot. And then, like, if you don't miss, you have to do something else. But then the next game, it changes. It's very funny. It's like in a whole arena and stuff. It's very funny.
I need to see this. I've seen the Book of Mormon live, so I'm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm.
It's good.
Aware of their humor.
It's very good, but it's very much South Park humor.
South Park's one of these things, right? Like where
I think it's genius.
Super. Yeah, I was just gonna say it's super. Like on the surface, looks non-PC, but they're actually like. The irony of it is that these people are so aware of what is politically correct that they
so far down.
It's a fascinating thing. They're actually genius and they're actually probably pretty decent guys.
Yeah.
To be able to make those jokes in the way that they do. There's a fine line and
they know exactly what they're doing.
They're doing
because they're highlighting some of the ridiculousness that is in our society by portraying it as on like in cartoon characters.
Of course, yeah.
It's insane.
I went because I saw Book of Mormon, because we got like $50 tickets and this is a definitely sad movie, so I'm going to keep this short. But like my grandma's friend had seen it and I was like,
how did they go?
But there is some language in this. Yeah. But yeah, wild, very smart people. But back to sports, I don't know. I don't know if I have too many more for sports. Mid-90s?
I have seen Mid-90s. That's a Jonah Hill vessel.
It was a very good film.
It's a very good film. He wrote and directed, Jonah Hill did this movie. And it's got, if anyone is a gamer here, the main little kid in this, Sonny, he's actually the kid who mocaps the kid out of the God of War games, the two new God of War games. So like it looks like him as the character, right. as well, he's obviously him now, like then. So that's where I put the connection together. I'm like, I've seen this kid before. I can't remember what. I looked up his name and I was like, oh, he's the kid out of God of War. Crazy. So yeah, he's putting his name out there. It's good. It's a coming of age skating film, essentially.
It's sort of a love letter to that culture and the 90s LA scene.
Because Jonah Hill's about my age, so he would have grown up around that era of, like, you know, he would have been like coming into a teenager in the early 2000s, and skating was one of the bigger things as a teenager from that era, because you had like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Skating was just a part of the zeitgeist.
Yep.
And you can tell that his love of it is in this film.
And I think this, again, like it's fascinating like what sports films could do, because I think this is sport sort of, but it kind of it highlights him as a filmmaker, which I don't think he'd been known as before. He was just like the little...
He's the fat butt of the kid joke. Out of Superbad.
Exactly. But, yeah. But this really was like, oh, he can make films. But
yeah, it's a really well-made film. Yeah, yeah, really well written too. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Check it out. It's on something. It's on one of the streaming.
Be somewhere.
Mid-90s. Yeah, it's good. Good film.
Yeah. That just about wraps us up for sports films.
There's plenty more.
I'm not like an athlete. I'm not an athletic person, let's be honest. But I still like, you can kind of really get into sports films through the story arc in characters and stuff like that. And then if you're into the sport as well, it's like...
It helps.
Added bonus, it helps. But yeah, no, really kind of enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, so did I.
I've been keen to kind of do it for a while and I hope you guys at home enjoyed it. As always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at BingeLists, or you can email us at BingeListsandBoxOfficeHits@gmail.com. We hope you had fun listening to this. We'll be back pretty shortly to do another episode for you, yep. But you'll see that next week.
Yep. Too easy, guys. Thanks.